The UN will soon be electing a new Secretary-General. Kofi Annan's second term is coming to a close, and it's not an easy position to fill. The man, who is still considered the most successful and influential Secretary-General in history, was Dag Hammarskjöld, who died in a plane crash 45 years ago in 1961. He was an innovator who shaped the UN in a unique way. Until today, he is respected for his integrity and his visions. Hammarskjöld created the first Blue Helmet peacekeeping mission, and he was also successful in silent diplomacy. Posthumously, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The present UN Secretary-General Kofi Annan says that in difficult situations, he still asks himself, how would Hammarskjöld have handled this? Anke Rasper about the life and legacy of the most famous UN innovator.
Leopoldville, Congo, in September 1961. UN Secretary-General Dag Hammarskjöld steps aboard a DC-6. The UN plane is to take him to peace talks with rebel chief Jombe. The situation in Congo is chaotic. It's a difficult mission. Nothing new for Hammarskjöld. The 56-year-old Swedish diplomat has been the UN Secretary-General for 8 years. His predecessor, Trygve Lie, had warned him about the task.
Welcome to New York and to the United Nations headquarters. You are going to take over the most impossible job on earth.
When Hammarskjöld came to New York in 1953, the UN was a young organization with little influence. There was a UN Charter on Human Rights, but the UN had not achieved much in practical terms yet. In the thick of the Cold War, international cooperation was not in everyone's interest. The Swedish financial and business expert Hammarskjöld was considered an administrator and technocrat, but he soon stunned people by setting out to redefine the role of the UN and that of the General Secretary. Hammarskjöld biographer Stefan Mögle-Stadel.
He found a way to give the United Nations importance between all these superpowers, so that for a time United Nations was really an actor in world politics and world history, and not only somebody who gives space for the acting powers.
The former colonial powers were skeptical about the UN's support of the growing number of independent member states from Africa and Asia. When France and Britain tried to help Israel gain control over the Egyptian part of the Suez Canal in 1956, Hammarskjöld acted quickly.
He was the only Secretary General who ignored the veto of two veto powers during the Suez Crisis.
He initiated the first UN Blue Helmet mission in history.
The force has the right of self-defense. It defends a position which it holds under orders in maintenance of its mandate. It cannot attack units of any kind.
The conflict was dissolved without escalating further. A boost for the UN and its General Secretary. Until today, the UN Blue Helmets are an important tool of the world organization, and they're not the only innovation introduced by Hammarskjöld. He often used his mediation skills and his sharp intellect in missions of private diplomacy all over the world. Manuel Fröhlich, political scientist at the University of Jena.
Well, Hammarskjöld was the innovator of various tools of conflict diplomacy that originated in the 1950s that the world organization still today employs in various conflicts and difficulties around the world. It starts with UN peacekeeping, but it also includes his notion of private diplomacy, which he employed in a mission to China in the 1950s. And he was the founder of the notion of an impartial international civil servant. And this is still today a very important concept for the United Nations.
Hammarskjöld's political actions were rooted in a strong spiritual and ethical conviction. For him, intercultural understanding and interreligious dialogue were of major importance.
Hammarskjöld was searching for a kind of common foundation of the international society. So for him, looking for spiritual insights, for religious dialogue with other cultures was one aspect of his tenure as Secretary General. And in that, religion had to be integrated into the successful framing of international politics.
He was in contact with leading philosophers, theologians, and intellectuals of the time, including Martin Buber and Albert Schweitzer.
He acts in a very humanistic way, yes? So as a servant of not only the nations, of the servant of humanity. So he's a real idealist on the first look. But if you read carefully, for example, his diary, which was published after his death, you see he was acting from an inner religious center, yes? And he could only be the way he was because he was acting from this inner center, yeah? Ready even to give in this service to mankind and to God and ignoring even the deadly consequences if he goes his path.
Hammarskjöld was also interested in arts and music, and despite his 18-hour working days, he even found time to translate literature from several languages into Swedish or to persuade famous orchestras to perform in the UN building. One of his favorites, Beethoven's Ode to Joy, which talks about all men becoming brothers, was performed annually on the UN Day.
Getreu den erhabenen Idealen, denen wir die Erklärung verdanken.
In accordance with the high ideals expressed in the UN Charter on Human Rights, we shall work towards a state of mind where reason and mutual understanding prosper, so that gradually the realization of these rules in daily life will come to rule human behavior. This is to be our contribution to world peace.
While the superpowers were trying to secure their influence in Asia and Africa, Hammarskjöld wanted to prevent proxy wars in decolonized countries. But the Cold War also reached Africa. After the Belgian colonists had left in 1960, after 75 years of plundering the country, a civil war erupted. Supported by Belgian mercenaries, rebel chief Tshombe declared independence of the rich Katanga province from the rest of the country. While Western companies wanted to keep their profits from the minerals and uranium mines in Katanga, Congolese President Patrice Lumumba was flirting with the Soviets. Each bloc tried to use the internal chaos to foster their own interests. The UN was called in to help, but the mission was difficult. Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev accused Hammarskjöld of acting in the interests of Western colonialists and demanded his dismissal.
In brief, we consider it advisable to set up, in the place of a Secretary General, who is at present the interpreter and executor of the decisions of the General Assembly and the Security Council, a collective executive organ of the United Nations, consisting of three persons, each of whom would represent a certain group of states.
Putting three antagonistic leaders in the place of an impartial and independent General Secretary would have turned the UN into an inefficient debating chamber. Dag Hammarskjöld defended his integrity in a moving speech.
I shall remain in my post during the term of my office as a servant of the organization in the interest of all those other nations as long as they wish me to do so. In this context, the representative of the Soviet Union spoke of courage. It is very easy to resign. It is not so easy to stay on. It is very easy to bow to the wish of a big power. It is another matter to resist. As is well known to all members of this assembly, I have done so before on many occasions and in many directions. If it is the wish of those nations who see in the organization their best protection in the present world, I shall do so again.
The majority of member states supported Hammarskjöld. Hammarskjöld wanted to give the small and independent states more power and continue reforms within the UN. He saw the organization as, quote, an admittedly imperfect but indispensable instrument of nations working for peaceful evolution towards a more just and secure world order. But resistance was mounting and he had little time left. The conflict in the Congo escalated further. Lumumba was murdered. Urged by Western states, Hammarskjöld returned to Central Africa for peace negotiations. His plane never arrived. It crashed shortly after midnight on the 18th of September 1961. Secret Service documents suggest it was not an accident. Eyewitness accounts say the UN machine was shot down. Yet the exact circumstances of the plane crash were never uncovered. It's clear that the independent General Secretary had many enemies. Hammarskjöld was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize posthumously. He was a pragmatic idealist who had shaped the UN in a unique way. The present UN Secretary General, Kofi Annan, says there's no better rule in difficult situations than to think, what would Hammarskjöld have done?
When you look at the United Nations today, you see that ethics is still the number one asset that the United Nations can muster. And if you look at the recent debate about Kofi Annan, his position and speculations on his successors, you still see that this crucial asset of being a moral voice, a moral authority in international affairs, is one of the prime assets of the United Nations and a key requirement for any Secretary General.
15 months after Hammarskjöld's death, the UN mission ended the rule of mercenaries in Katanga and the country was reunited. But the superpowers continued to fight proxy wars in Africa for the next 3 decades. Many of the problems of Hammarskjöld's time, from the Middle East conflict to nuclear disarmament, remain unsolved. Reforms of the UN continue. Deutsche Welle Radio, Anke Raspar.
And that report wraps up today's edition of World in Progress. Next week, you can hear a co-production on the situation of women and HIV in Thailand here on World in Progress. For today, thanks for tuning in. On behalf of the studio team, I'm Rob Turner in Bonn, saying bye for now.